the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Joining us on the show today is Quentin Brogdon. He's an attorney at Crane Brogdon Rogers. Quentin, thanks for coming on the show again today. When we last spoke with you earlier this year, you had explained that employers had been given legal coverage to both require and fire employees that refuse to get vaccinated. Since we've now seen the FDA give full approval of Pfizer, should we expect a wave of corporate mandates and potential firings moving forward?
Hello, thanks for having me back. Absolutely, we should expect a wave of mandates for vaccines, and we're already seeing those mandates. They've started this week. On Monday, as you said, the FDA gave full approval to the vaccine. Before Monday, the Pfizer vaccine, as well as the rest of the vaccines being used, had only emergency use authorization authority, so-called EUA. Pfizer now has been unconditionally approved by the FDA, and most legal commentators agree that it will weaken further any argument that an employee might have had that because they're being required to do something that's experimental or is only authorized based on an emergency use authorization, that somehow it's inappropriate under the law. And so it's going to be followed and already is being followed by more and more companies, more and more employers mandating vaccines. We've already seen a whole rash of that in the first part of this week. And we're going to see other vaccines other than the Pfizer vaccine approved. That's in the works now, the Moderna vaccine, as well as Johnson & Johnson. So presumably in the near future, meaning within weeks, those vaccines likewise will receive unconditional approval, final approval by the FDA. And so it's going to make it even more, it's going to create an even greater impetus towards companies moving towards these vaccines. Companies already were starting to mandate them in the wake of the resurgence of, you know, the new Delta variant. Many had assumed that we were beyond the worst of it. Many had hoped we were beyond the worst of it, but the resurgence of the Delta variant combined with now the FDA's full and final approval of the Pfizer vaccine, presumably to be followed by approval of the other vaccines, all of those things together are creating an impetus towards mandatory vaccines.
So I think the question is, from a legal standpoint, for those that are worried, and there are, let's face it, many people, half the country is unvaccinated right now. If you look at the stats, it's 51% are vaccinated, 49% are unvaccinated. Over 70% have received at least one shot. But if you're talking about two shots for a vaccination, it's split half, 50 and 50, which means you now have a large percentage of the working age population potentially getting fired. That is, if they decide not to get vaccinated, of course. And to add insult to injury, it also appears that they won't be able to apply for unemployment insurance because the employee is then considered to be at fault.
First, with respect to what an employee can do if the employee is contemplating refusing a vaccine that's being mandated, or what the employee's rights are, it really depends upon the situation of the employee in these respects. Number one, what state is the employee in? Because there may be, and no doubt are, specific state laws, mandates, perhaps even executive orders issued by state governors that could control in that situation. So that's one of the first questions, is where is the employee situated and what state specific laws and rights and remedies exist, and prohibitions, because some governors have said employers cannot mandate vaccines in those states. And then many of those executive orders by governors are being contested, whether in favor of mandates or against mandates for vaccines. So that's a question. Another question is the employee a member of a union? If the employee is a member of a union, almost certainly there will be very specifically negotiated controls and terms between the employer and the employees who are members of those unions, or the union at issue, and those provisions in the union agreement may control whether an employer and probably will control whether an employer can require vaccinations, whether for COVID or something else. And then lastly, does the employee have a written contract, a contract of employment with the employer that governs in some respect what can be required and mandated of the employee? And so, for instance, in my home state of Texas, we are considered an at-will employment state, meaning as long as it's not for an improper person, you know, race, sex, national origin, for example, an employer can fire you just because they don't like the fact you're wearing a mustache to work, for example, or something like that, unless there's a written contract of employment that controls in the situation. So all of those things and others would come to bear in deciding and determining what rights an employee would have, an employee who's contemplating resisting a mask mandate or a vaccination mandate in a particular state and in a particular employment situation.
Got it. Okay. So I guess we should say that now at this point, given the full approval of Pfizer, worst case scenario is that if we do assume we're going to continue to see corporate mandates moving forward, so a much larger percentage of the American population now is going to be essentially forced with the decision of getting the vaccine. Worst case scenario would be that we have a large number of angry unemployed people that got fired because they refused to take the vaccine. That would be worst case scenario. We don't want to see that. However, there are some other options here. And let's discuss some of those because, you know, just this morning, CNBC announcing that Delta Airlines is going to charge employees $200 a month if they fail to get vaccinated. So there's other, let's say, incentives, fines, versus just outright firing that employers can utilize here in this case if they do want to try to get more of their workforce vaccinated. So worst case scenario would be mass firings. Hopefully we don't see that. But likely we're going to see a range of these different options explored first.
I agree with you. And another variable in the equation is that some of the employees and individuals who have been sitting on the sidelines saying, I'm not sure I want to get vaccinated, are now presumably, many believe, going to be more willing to get the vaccination given the final FDA approval on Monday, given the fact that Delta is raging, given the fact that it is more and more required. People who might have been hesitating or sitting on the fence may now jump to the other side in favor of vaccination. But then you're going to see, I think, corporations, employers trying to incentivize either through punitive incentives or through positive incentives, such as we'll give you these certain benefits if you agree to be vaccinated. I think we'll see some of that. And it's always better if you can voluntarily incentivize your employees to do something you want as an employer. That's, you know, always the best course of action. Employers who hand out benefits, though, for vaccinations just need to be careful because there's some guidance that says if you give an employee something that is more than a so-called de minimis benefit, you can run afoul of some of the employment laws because hypothetically, if you have two employees sitting side by side, and one of them has a medical condition that genuinely, legitimately, sincerely prohibits them from getting the vaccine, the other employee does not have that condition, and you're giving the other employee who does not have a medical condition an incentive to get a vaccine that employee accepts, then you could be wrongfully, at least arguably, depriving the employee of the medical with the medical condition of that same incentive or the same opportunity to obtain the incentive. So that can create difficulties both in theory and in reality. So employers just need to be careful and get, you know, legal counsel on those types of issues if you're going to try and hand out incentives to your employees.
That's a really good point. And obviously employers across the nation are going to be wrestling with some of these issues like you just brought up. What do we want to do that's going to be the easiest in terms of changing our laws, changing our contracts, facing some of these potential issues with unfairly giving incentives to one person and not another? So, you know, from your standpoint, what do you think is the easiest or the most likely path that businesses are going to take, given the range of outcomes that we could see?
Well, the politicians, the ones who would pass those laws into existence, laws in one direction or another, they cannot agree, primarily because their constituents, all of us, cannot agree. Some of us are very much in favor of mass mandates and mandatory vaccination requirements. Others of us are vehemently against those things. So we are seeing conflicting and confusing directions and even laws and legal proclamations in the form of executive orders issued by governments, resistance in many cases by local officials and governmental officials who are trying to do something contrary to what the governor is requiring, whether they're trying to issue a mandate when the governor said they can't, or they're trying to not issue a mandate when the government and the governor has said they should. And so it's above my pay grade to know exactly where we want to go, but it would certainly be more consistent. And it would take quite a bit of the pressure off of businesses if our governmental units could be consistent and stop issuing conflicting and confusing advice and directives. Because I don't envy any business right now that is trying to navigate through those waters. No matter what they do, they're going to upset some of their employees and some of their customers if they deal with the public. No matter what choices they make, they will most assuredly be on the wrong side of somebody's view of what should be being done. And so I don't have an answer to that question, is the short answer, for all the reasons I just said.
So there's no easy choices here for businesses or for employees, but I think bottom line, if we were to just kind of summarize what we discussed today in terms of the legal implications of this and the path forward, businesses are going to be making various decisions. There is going to be, we should expect, a wave of corporate mandates moving forward, as we've already seen, that is likely to continue as well if we see full approval of the other vaccines, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, et cetera. Those are on track as we're speaking. So that could be something that's happening very soon. We'll have to see. However, that being said, companies do have the legal authority now to fire their employees if they refuse to get the vaccine, unless there's some type of contractual language that would prohibit that, or depending on the specific state that they live in. But in general, they do have that legal right. If there's nothing in place that would prohibit them from doing so, the authorizations now make it so that employees have less of a case to make in court. And, you know, some people will move on to the other side of the fence and likely get the vaccine if their employers require it. Some will likely refuse. So there's a lot of different scenarios that we're going to be having to watch and track moving forward in terms of range of incentives, range of fines. But I think we can all agree lots of difficult decisions are going to be made moving forward. And hopefully we're not going to see a large number of angry Americans sitting on the sidelines because they got fired from their job.
I think that's a good overview of where we stand right now. None of this is going away anytime soon. I fear we're going to be still discussing these and similar issues in the coming months. It's not going to be quickly resolved.
Well, Quentin, it's always a pleasure to have you on our show to give us a legal update on some of these events as they're unfolding. And like you said, there's going to be a lot of issues here to cover in the weeks and months ahead. So we definitely look forward to having you on the show again to get another update.
Well, thanks for having me back on, and we'll all be watching these developments very carefully.
Quentin, as we close, I want to thank you for coming on to our show. Again, you're an attorney at Crane, Brogdon, Rogers. So with that said, how can our listeners follow more of your work, get in contact with you?
Well, I'm Quentin Brogdon, as you said, and my law firm is Crane, Brogdon, Rogers. Our website is cbrlawfirm.com, as in Crane, Brogdon, Rogers, lawfirm.com.
So as Quentin said today, there's a very good chance we'll see a wave of corporate mandates take place, particularly by larger companies, and less so with small to mid-sized businesses, we should add. And this is going to be putting millions of Americans now in the difficult position of having to choose between their job or getting the vaccine. For some hesitant to receive the jab in the arm that don't want to face the uncertainty of losing their job and a steady source of income, not to mention likely being unable to collect unemployment insurance once fired, this will be enough to get those jabs. However, for others, they would rather quit or be fired than be forced to do something they don't want to do. As well, we are going to see a range of measures being utilized by companies spanning everything from extra incentives, fines, or as we discussed today, firings. Without a federal vaccine mandate in place, that means these decisions will largely vary state by state and by business. At this point, it is still too soon to say what the overall outcome will be, but if the wave of corporate mandates continue, we'll likely see both an increase in the rate of vaccinations and an increase in people quitting their jobs or getting laid off in the months ahead. As always, we will be tracking this data and these trends as they unfold here on Financial Sense NewsHour. If you have any questions or feedback about what we discussed today, feel free to go to our website, financialsense.com, and click where it says Contact Us. For Financial Sense NewsHour, I'm Chris Sheridan. Thanks for listening.
The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.